Good morning and happy new year. It's the 2nd of January and it's 5 a.m. And I want to start your new year with a thought. There comes a point in our life where we ask ourselves an honest and genuine question. If all the money we make and all the fame we get and all the reputation we have earned will ensure that we would be hated in society, would you still do that? The question is, aren't you indirectly wanting to be loved by doing all of that in the first place? So I've concluded that I am in love. I am in love with love. Yeah. And you know who else was in love with love itself? Someone who lived close to, 500 or so years ago? Someone famously known as Mirabai. Mera dard na jaano koi. हेरी मैं तो प्रेम दीवानी मेरा दर्द ना जानो कोई घायल की गति घायल जाने जो कोई घायल होए ये तो प्रॉब्लम है जी प्यार करते तो घायल हो जाते हैं ना देयर इज पेन दैट कम्स विद लव बट देन यू कांट लिव विदाउट लव एवरीथिंग वी डू इज टुवर्ड्स लव वी लिव इन अ सोसाइटी वेयर एवरीवन वांट्स टू बी लव्ड एंड अंडरस्टूड बट नो वन वांट्स टू अंडरस्टैंड आवर लव वी आर टू स्केयर्ड टू लव चिल्ड्रन आर टू स्केयर्ड टू लव देयर पेरेंट्स बिकॉज दे फील दे लूज देम वन डे Spouses are too scared to love each other because they feel the other person will have too much power. We really do live in a society where we want to be understood and loved, but we're not ready to love. Would you love someone today? Then I'll give you a choice. Why not start by loving this show? Let's kickstart 2023. 5 a.m. at 5 a.m. Hive. You're listening to the only morning show, good news morning show that plays out to your heart first and then to your ears. Aisa kyun hota hai? Uske piche ek bahut bada scientific reason hai that I will tell you during the show. I'm just kidding. So let's start with the first segment of the day. Quick bites. Who doesn't like quick bites in the morning? Especially if it's 5 a.m., right? Depends on who you are. But anyway. The first bite. Indian pharmaceutical exports grow by 138% since 2014. I guess COVID-19 had a bright side after all, right? Second bite. Tigers count go up nationally consecutively. From 2014 to 2018, there has been a rise in numbers, and especially in Sundarban. Well, all the campaigning about Save the Tigers did help after all, right? Let's go on to our favorite and the much awaited, especially for you, next segment of the day. That one thing that no one seems to be telling you nowadays. Good news! The first good news of the day is fake news. What? How does that make sense? Well, COVID fake news, a misleading WhatsApp message about XBB variant has been doing the rounds, and I'm sure someone from your chacha or auntie or uncle or masi would have definitely got this forward and they've put it up on your family WhatsApp group. It happened with me also. Someone from my family did it. Yes, the first good news of the day is the tearing apart of the fake news that have been doing rounds. The Ministry of Health has debunked a particular message about COVID XBB variant. Personally, someone from my family also received this message on WhatsApp and she happened to share it on all our WhatsApp groups. And for 1 to 2 days, there was a mayhem going on. Oh my God, is COVID back? And we were seeing a lot of these statuses that with the mask and COVID is coming back, etc., etc. Well, the health ministry has called out this news as fake and misleading. The fake news which was being spread through WhatsApp reads that everyone is advised to wear a mask because the new variant of the COVID Omicron XBB coronavirus is different, deadly and not easy to detect. Yaar, वैसे ही इतना anxiety भरा पड़ा है. I think there's a special place in hell for people who spread these fake messages. I mean, what kind of satisfaction do you think these people are deriving from this? People need to understand that this is the equivalent of telling students 10 days before board exams that tomorrow is the exam and it has been preponed by 10 days. I mean, this is the equivalent of telling someone that your appraisal this year is going to be taken by the person you hate the most in your office. Us level ka panic hai. This message has also been called out on the official Twitter handle of Ministry of Health. The message even goes on to say that COVID Omicron XBB is 5 times more virulent than other variants and has a higher mortality rate, etc. Blah, 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 blah. And when I was actually researching on this, I saw that some people have even published blogs on this. Some people are really more on fake news than any other person I've come across in my life. So anyway, so the first good news of the day. Good news, aapko thoda sa ullu banaya gaya, but everything is fine in the country. Don't worry. Hashtag 5am hive and Ministry of Health saves the day. Let's go to the second good news of the day. Social media platform Kuu has become the second largest microblogging site in the world on this planet. I am so proud of India here. Kuu is the only Indian microblog competing with other global microblogging platforms such as Twitter, Getter, Truth Social, Mastodon, Parler, and stands second after Twitter in terms of user downloads on this planet. I mean, this deserves a shout out. Currently, Kuu is available in 10 languages and has users from 100 countries, including the US, UK, Singapore, Canada, Nigeria, UAE, Algeria, Nepal, Iran, and India. It is a homegrown microblogging platform. And I can't say this enough, but it's the second largest microblog available in the world. The platform has already hit 50 million downloads and has seen an upward trajectory in the terms of growth, downloads. And this is what Aprameya Radhakrishna, CEO and co-founder of Kuu, had to say about this. We are overwhelmed by the responses we have received from our users and are happy to share that today we are the second largest microblog in the world with just 2.5 years of our existence since the launch. Now, just like Twitter, Kuu has also provided a free yellow tick to eminent personalities. And actually, in a lot of ways, Kuu is very similar to Twitter. But you know what I was wondering? Every time someone tweets on Twitter, you say that, did you read the tweet yesterday? What do people on Kuu say? Did you see the kukuduku yesterday? I guess just one more. If you ask the co-founders and the CEOs of Kuu, what is the success mantra and the secret behind your company? They would say, Kuu. That is so bad. Please don't stop listening to my show. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of this platform that is actually competing with Twitter, and homegrown Indian startups and companies are going head on with international brands. This just makes me proud. You know what I say? All of us should actually make it a point to go and register on Kuu. I'm going to do that today. Why don't you give it a shot? And while you do that, we have the third good news for the day. India and France adopt roadmap for development of green hydrogen. Yes, in an effort to support sustainable energy transitions and reach carbon neutrality goals, India and France on October 29, 2022, adopted an ambitious plan for the development of green hydrogen. This is actually quite big news. You won't understand the impact of it right now, but just 2 to 3 decades down the lane, you're going to be very thankful that India actually took this stand. Now, you already know that there have been a lot of measures taken to reach the goal of carbon neutrality that definitely helps the atmosphere, the environment, and everything. There have been a lot of vehicles which have been released by different automobile manufacturers, which are electric and therefore help reach this goal faster. But something that's going to help the most, I would say, is green hydrogen. Now, what is green hydrogen, right? Green hydrogen is something that's going to help us decarbonize the planet. And a lot of countries around the world have set a goal to reach this by 2050. Now, hydrogen, which is a universal, light, and highly reactive fuel, till now had its problems when it comes to using it as a fuel to power vehicles, generate electricity, and other such things. But now we have come up with a chemical process that creates green, what we call green hydrogen. And actually, all of us have studied bits of this. We have definitely studied about electrolysis. Remember? Electrolysis, I think class 7th? Was it class 7th? Class 7th or 8th. The method uses an electrical current to separate the hydrogen from the oxygen in water. And using this technology, we would be able to produce energy without emitting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Now, if you ask me, Bharat, achha to hoga, but kitna achha hoga? Well, this method of obtaining green hydrogen would save 830 million tons of carbon dioxide that is emitted annually when the fuel we use is produced using fossil fuels. Let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope that this works out, because this really does look like a very good plan for the future. And you know, while we are on this, just one thought I want to leave you with before we go on to the next segment is something beautiful I've noticed about India. if you actually look at the whole history, is that India makes mistakes. Oh, yes, we do. We are very human that way. But we always learn from our mistakes. It's quite beautiful. Let's move on to the next segment of the show. The next segment is called Social Soda Interviews. This is that segment where we interview personalities from around the country who have actually made a difference and worked towards betterment of our folks. We have someone who's traveled in service. Someone who has been an inherent part of Art of Living and a fulcrum of the system that served so many purposes in the society. Nakul Dhawan, a friend, a mentor figure, and someone who's very close to my heart. Nakul Dhawan, or Nakulji as I call him, is a trustee and the head of Art of Living Sri Sri Publications Trust. Art of Living is a volunteer-based humanitarian organization founded by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. It has helped uplift people from war-stricken countries, like, for example, 16,000 war-affected children who received trauma relief, helping millions across 180 countries with the Sudarshan Kriya and its self-development programs, and runs close to 1,000 free schools and other such programs. When it comes to social service projects, it has projects like Mission Green Earth, aimed at planting 100 million trees, Project Veerabhadra, river regeneration projects, and much, 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 much more. So the best introduction I can give about Nakulji is that he is a wisdom pot. One of the calmest, sweetest, and yet sternest wisdomest person I've ever met in my life. Let's go to the interview. So it's such a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Nakulji, you've been a mentor figure in my life. This is more going to be just questions pouring out. So what do you want me to ask you first?
Anything.
So the way I see it, you can theoretically structurize every person on this planet into a pyramid. Everyone on this pyramid is trying to get to the top. And the top being peace, happiness, bliss, calm state of mind, confidence, courage. Intentionally or unintentionally, we're all heading there, is what I personally feel. So, whenever I've had a conversation with you, I've always felt this calm, beautiful, radiant sense of being. Very calm and beautiful, happy. What's your secret? That's a genuine question.
The art of living. Actually, to step back, you said that everybody is on a pyramid and there's peace at the top. Peace is not at top of some pyramid. Peace is right where you are. And that's what art of living teaches you. Wherever you are, you can be calm, peaceful. Yeah, it's not, whatever you're seeking is not outside anywhere else. Okay. So that's the secret. It's a very open secret, actually. It just there is no reason to be to not be peaceful in this world, in this life. And Gurudev also says there is nothing in this world worth losing your smile for. Because everything here will come and go. It's time bound, and life. You are. You are more than anything else that you can achieve, find, gather in this world. Knowing your nature, you cannot but be calm, peaceful, and all that.
So the first question that arised in my mind when I heard that was, this you've heard 100 times. I'm guessing you've heard this 1,000,000 times, but it's actually still relevant, which is that while on the way here, I was so anxious that, are yaar, late ho gaya, set up karna hai, wo ho gaya to, ye ho gaya to. So a storm of anxiety, fear, these things take over your mind. So A, how do you remain in touch with your nature, which is, as they say, shantakaram, very peaceful and beautiful. And B, that's all actually.
No, like I said, if you get anxious, it wouldn't have been for the first time that you were anxious today over some event, future event.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the mind that when you think about anything that's about to happen in the future, you generally get anxious. And so life teaches you one event after another that they all come and go. So it really, in the end, does not prove worthy of all that anxiety, any event. And one event, second event, third event, every event teaches you that. And until you get it. So when you do get it, it's very hard to get anxious. You really have to work hard to get anxious. So because anxiety is over fear of losing something or something going wrong. When you really are in your nature, you don't seek anything from outside in the first place. So it doesn't matter what goes on outside. So you're not losing anything, missing anything out if it goes this way or that way. You're not losing anything because you will be you. So that's, I think, what can be being in your nature. As you learn, I'm in my 40s now, and as you learn through life, I know you're in your 20s, so it's easy to hear in your 20s, 30s, but I'm in my 40s now, and from what I've seen, important things that I've been through, what Gurudev has said holds out. There is nothing worth losing your mind over. In this life, in this world, you just be yourself and the best will follow. The best will happen. If you're trying to be something else and hoping to get something by being something else other than yourself, it's not worth it. And time will prove it. I mean, as you get through life, get through world, get to know more of this world, more of this life, this will hold out.
So, we all know Swami Vivekananda, but very few of us would have ever heard the thoughts of Narendranath. So, Narendranath became Swami Vivekananda. This springs out, what was your journey from there to here? I don't know what I'm referring to, but to here.
I'm not as famous as Swami Vivekananda, nowhere close. I don't know if I've had a journey at all, but from my childhood, I grew up in a village with not many people around, far from the city. And so in my childhood, I spent a lot of time observing nature, being with nature, just, lovely sunrises, sunsets, nature, trees, birds, all that. And so from very early in my childhood, I had this question, this scenery that I'm seeing and this setup that I'm in, how did I get here? Why have I been put here? And I found that these questions were not in my syllabus, in my school. They were not deemed as important by family, by friends. Nobody seemed interested to investigate in this direction. But I was surprised, how can you not be interested in knowing where does this come from? Where does this world come from? And why? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to do? And so it so happened that I met Gurudev quite early in my life. I was 16. And he was and is a spiritual leader. So he's supposed to be someone who has these answers. And by the time I was 16, I used to keenly observe people with this parameter. Do they know? Because I had seen so many of my teachers who are telling me, do this, do that, write this, write that. You know, I remember from when I was very young, children are given this homework. The teacher writes the first line on top, and then you have to write 10 times below the same line. And from that time, I was like, why are you asking me to do this? I love it. Come on. But I realized that this is what they expect of me. To, you know, just do what everybody does and act like a child. And so, but I realized that they are not making any sense, and they don't know what you're supposed to do. And they're telling me what to do. They don't know where their life is going, and they're telling me where to take my life. So I when I started observing Gurudev, it was clear that I could not measure him. I had developed this, through observation, how deeply has a person investigated the nature of life? I mean, how much do they know? And everybody else, because they've not spent time or, gone deeper into this, I could measure them. I could understand where they are, what they need from me. But with Gurudev, he was a surprise. Everything that he said, the way he was, it was okay. He seems to know. And so I got very interested in him. And so right from that time, he's been on my mind and been a big part of my life. And life so happened that it steered itself through twists and turns, and I landed in the ashram. And here I am. I've been here 14 years. They passed in a flash.
Wow, what a blessing it has been.
Yeah.
So, this actually brings to a very interesting question, which is, when we say, do we know, right? We have democracy because we know that it's better than monarchy. We have education systems, which we know are better than what we had. We have businesses because we know that this is the right way to serve the society. Business is I personally believe that business is an instrument of well-being, that you can point it towards any particular area of service that you need to give, and you can use it as an instrument to create resources and then serve the society in that particular area. But is this the extent of knowing, or can we evolve? What are your thoughts on, can businesses evolve into something else, like monarchy evolved into democracy? Democracy evolve into another system, another form? Is that?
I'm not sure I fully understand the parallel between the evolution of monarchy into democracy and businesses into something else. Systems of governance, monarchy versus democracy, it's a system of governance, and they have their own road of evolution. Businesses have their own road of evolution. So I'm not sure I understand the parallel there, but... See, businesses, they service society. And whenever there is a need for a large number of people or a significant number of people, there's an opportunity. And that's what any founder will tell you. Any startup, new age startup founder will tell you that you solve a problem and that's it. Wealth will follow.
Okay, so what I want to ask you is... businesses, when I look at it, businesses today, even though they're an instrument of well-being in my perception, in one way, even though they're getting a lot of good, I would say 90% good, but 10% harm. And that might be because of the fact that they don't have a approach of nurturing. I feel so. Like, for example, if, maybe I'm wrong, but if a business exploits because it doesn't want to nurture, either this way, either the employee side or the client side. And the same thing comes with democracy. Democracy was a solution to monarchy because the power is not in one center, and democracy has a diluted power. And so it takes more time to take decisions. But then it has corruption now, which it has come with it. So every time I think about these things, it always seems like a wall. Is there anything that probably a democracy could evolve into? It's an exciting thought. A business can evolve into something else, another system. Like, no, business.
First of all, it appears like you regard democracy as an advancement over monarchy.
I felt so.
What if you have a good king? What if you have a king who cares about his people, who's genuinely concerned about their welfare? In that case, a monarchy would be far better than a democracy. In a democracy, nobody takes ownership. Nobody is entitled to. But if it's a good king And he says, I will care for my people. Nobody will say that in a democracy. So, I mean, if you have a good king, monarchy may be a better idea than a democracy. I mean, you look at the state of democracy. Which one is a role model today in the world? We've been free and war-free for almost a century now. Which democracy is functioning well without corruption? So, yeah, if you have a bad king, yeah, you're in trouble. But it depends. I don't think you can blankly say that democracy is always better than monarchy. But what were you saying about business?
Yeah, so same. So that was the parallel, that could these systems evolve as a business? We have a setup, it's a profit-oriented. And so could these systems evolve into another system, probably another name, another form?
Yeah, no, the thing is, a system is only as good as the people running it. So why would a monarchy go bad, would turn into a bad idea, is because the top guy at the top is not the right guy. Why would a business turn to exploitation more than service? Greed, also greed. So greed for power, greed for wealth is behind the corruption of both these systems. So the system, I mean, may or may not, the people behind it have to evolve. If you have the right people, they can evolve a system that suits the time. If you have the wrong people, you give them the right system, they'll make a hash of it.
Okay, so actually this brings me to a question, which is, in some way I've noticed that the Art of Living's vision is grand. It's so beautiful and grand. In terms of evolution of the mind, in terms of evolution of the body, in terms of well-being of the man, I mean the person, it has done tremendous amount of work in terms of 700 schools, free schools we are running.
900
now.
Almost a thousand
free schools. And millions and millions of people who are taught the Kriya, and there were benefits. I'm someone who's from, I have seen the benefits. The state of mind right after the Kriya, the meditation practices, the calmness it has brought to our lives. So an organization that has done such extensive amount of good in society, which compared to any other organization, I would rarely find a couple of few who've done this kind of good work. But why? Is it the intent mentality? I don't know. Why does the pointing? Ki are yaar, to business hai. Jo, ki to business hai. Spirituality ko kabhi business nahi karna chahiye. You know, it should be free of cost. Ye to ek cheez hai that takes you. I'll tell you some arguments I've heard. Ye to ek cheez hai that takes you towards God. Ye cheez hi agar tum worldly kar doge to fayda kya hua? And kuch log kehte hai to scam hai. So what is your point of view on all that?
So yeah, people are entitled to their opinions, which may be as educated or as ignorant as they come. Everybody who says Adling to ye hai, Adling to scam hai, wo hai. There are people who don't know Art of Living. It's that simple. And there's not much you can do. I mean, if somebody who comes and experiences what we do in our organization firsthand will never say that, because they've seen what we actually do. And there's our service projects are a large part of the organization. And we run a ton of those service projects, and which are also at a massive scale. And to run all of those, you need resources. There has to be a way to generate resources. So Gurudev says, you can't do charity from an empty bowl. You have to have something first before you are able to give. So you have to have resources, and we generate them through our programs. And our programs also, people find them worthwhile. That's why so many millions are coming and doing the programs. They benefit them. They get benefited. And from resources which are generated, we plow them back into our service projects. And there also, I mean, I was in Ghatshila earlier this month and with an elderly gentleman, Chavlaji, who's been running these free schools in tribal areas for 24 years. And he said, when we decided to start with Gurudev's blessing, this project, there were three people, and three of us pulled in 5,000 each. So we started from 15,000, from a kitty of 15,000. And then when we progressed, our expenses grew. So we needed more resources. And he went with this problem to the chairman of Art of Living at that time. And the chairman said, yes, your project is very noble. Don't worry, I'll meet your expense. And at that time, his expense was a lakh a month. And the chairman said, no, it's okay. I have sanctioned the whole year for you. So you don't have to worry. Now he has to have those resources at his disposal to be able to take a call like that. So, I mean, this is one project. This is one set of schools, 19 schools in Ghatshila. We run 987. And each of them is a different story. This is schools. Then there are rivers. Then there are prison programs. I mean, every project we run requires resources. Yeah, it's for a larger purpose, larger cause. And yeah, why not? And whoever, no matter what you do, you'll be criticized. You have to be. There were people, there was a Christmas yesterday. They were actually people who put Jesus on the cross. On the cross. And they were not robbers, hooligans. They were educated people of that time, the lawmakers, the highest, the cream of society, who put him on the cross. So, I mean, just because some people criticize you doesn't mean that you're right or wrong.
I think most parts of the interview that you just heard was for your brain. It was very intellectual. It brought out a lot of areas of thought that we've not explored before, right? There are two more parts of this that we'll be exploring in the next coming podcast. And if that was enough for the brain, here's a story for your heart. A Coimbatore boy writes exam with a blindfold to spread an important message. R. Madheshwaran, a class 7 boy at Sri Ramakrishna Matriculation Higher Secondary School in Coimbatore, has normal eyesight. He wanted to feel how the blind experience the world and to spread awareness on eye donation. For this purpose, this 12-year-old boy decided to try something novel. Something that most of us would just wonder, keh rahe yaar, just exam dete hai na, apne marks se farak padta hai, how does it matter? This boy was different. And for a lot of you out there who are wondering, how did he pull it off in the first place? Was it in Braille? No, the paper was not set in Braille. And neither were the alphabets embossed. Every alphabet and number has a different smell. So by just concentrating on the sheet of paper for a few minutes, he said that he could read the words and sentences in his mind. First off, this boy is incredible. Second of all, pulling off something like that to spread awareness about eye donation. Bravo, man. Just bravo. I have no cheers. I just have silence. We need more people like this in the world, right? Well, we have a lot more people in the world. And that's why the 5 a.m. highway is here. We are here with a single purpose. To make you aware that nowadays everything that's getting reported is only 1% of what happens in the world. But 99% is just good in its nature. Just think about it in your own life. Out of all the people you met and everything that you've come across and all the interactions you've had, you can count on your fingers of all that has gone wrong or bad. But most of it, people were just kind, helping, caring for the most. So see you tomorrow with the 5 a.m. Hive Tuesday edition, where we would explore the segment called Good Job Government. And there's a lot to tell. So haste raho, muskurate raho, keep smiling. Spread the smile. You know, smile is very contagious. If you smile, others also smile with you. Unless you're dealing with zombies. See you tomorrow. Bharat Nair, logging out. 5 a.m. Hive, signing off. Logging out. What happens in IT?